Amen. Well, our Old Testament reading this evening is taken from the first chapter of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, where we read these wonderful spirit-breathed words of life, words meant to encourage us to follow in the footsteps of the saints of old and our brothers and sisters in Christ today who live faithfully and boldly for the Lord, to be strong and courageous in and for our gracious God. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, we pray that you would breathe an evening blessing upon us, that you would make us know afresh that anointing that is ours through the Anointed One, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that you would so fill our hearts that we would be as Joshua, strong and courageous. And help us to do all that we do with love. To the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we have completed, as Kenneth said, our 7-year study of the Pentateuch, seven, that number of completion. So we have completed our 7-year study of the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. And now we come to the book of Joshua, where the history of Israel's journey out of Egypt through the wilderness towards the promised land continues. Moses had faithfully led God's people, and now that he has died, God has raised up another servant, another faithful steward of God's word and shepherd of God's people to lead his people into the promised land. As I've mentioned before, this was to show that neither Moses nor Joshua nor any other mere mortal is our ultimate savior. Only Christ is our complete, all-sufficient, eternal Savior. As I mentioned before, Andrew Murray put it this way. Jesus is both our Moses, who leads us out of bondage, and our Joshua, who leads us into the promised land. Or as St. John Chrysostom, the early church father, put it, Moses, the lawgiver, could not bring Israel into the promised land, which shows that the law of Moses cannot save, it cannot ultimately deliver. But Joshua, brought them in. And in this, he was a type of Jesus Christ, who brings his own into heaven, not by law, but by grace. Remember that Joshua's name was originally Hoshua, which means salvation, but Moses changed his name. How would you like somebody to come up and say, I'm going to change your name today? Well, that's what Moses did to Joshua. Such was the authority vested in Moses to do that kind of thing. Later we see Jesus vested with the authority of God himself, anointed with the Spirit, God in the flesh, changing Cephas's name to Peter, right? Simon to Peter. And here we have Moses changing Hoshua. Hoshua, it's no longer going to be your name. It's going to be Joshua. Hoshua means salvation. Joshua, or Yehoshua, means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. And of course, that comes into Aramaic as Yeshua, or Jesus, to whom Joshua pointed, and who was so named because he is Yahweh in the flesh, the only true Savior of sinners, as we confess from the Heidelberg Catechism. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, meaning Savior? Because he saves us from our sins, and because salvation should not be sought and cannot be found in anyone else. Not in Moses, not in Joshua, not in ourselves, not in anyone else. In our passage this evening, we hear the Lord preparing Joshua to lead his people into the land, which of course meant leading them into battle, physical warfare. This is a very different commissioning than the one that we heard from Matthew chapter 28. Very different way of advancing God's kingdom in Matthew 28. You know, sharing the gospel, baptizing, discipling, and so forth. Here, spreading God's kingdom meant warfare, meant physically conquering physical land and treading physical combatants underfoot. And those who inhabited the land, the combatants that they would have to face were the Canaanites and Amorites, who had been there for 500 years. These were a well-established people, established governments and cities and armies and industries. They were a powerful and militarily sophisticated peoples who knew the land much better than the Israelites did, and who knew how to make mincemeat of those who challenged their power. So three times, three also a number of completion or perfection. Three times in this commissioning of his servant Joshua, God told him to be strong and courageous. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do you think that God wanted Joshua to be strong and courageous? And by way of application, do you think that God wants us to be strong and courageous? The point I want us to drill down on this evening is that Joshua, this is very important to note, Joshua was actually already strong and courageous. When God told him this, Joshua was already strong and courageous. But that didn't keep God from reminding him three times in this commissioning ceremony to be strong and courageous, to live out the fact that he was strong and courageous, to live out who he was by grace. So let's look at those two points this evening. In the first place, Joshua had already proven that he was, in fact, a strong and courageous man. Being strong and courageous was not a novel concept for Joshua. The first time we hear about Joshua is back in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9, where Moses told him to lead Israel into battle with the Amalekites. And Joshua did just that. He bravely led Israel into battle, and God honored Joshua's bravery and gave Israel the victory. And God honored Joshua again by calling him to be Moses' assistant. Moses' assistant, as we were reminded here in our passage this evening, as we read first back in Exodus chapter 24. It's important to note that Joshua was not the assistant prophet. He was the assistant to the prophet. Very important that you keep those distinctions in mind. Joshua was named the assistant to the prophet because he had proven himself faithful. He had proven himself not to just have a bunch of ideas in his head, not just be committed to certain things in a sort of abstract, theoretical way, but he lived them out. He was strong and courageous such that he lived them out. It's like, to paraphrase C.S. Lewis, he said that courage is the most important of all virtues. Because if you don't have courage, you won't be able to live out the other virtues that you possess. You won't be able to live out what it means to love and serve others and forgive others and turn the other cheek and share the gospel and all these other virtues and convictions that you have. If you're not courageous, you won't be able to live out the other virtues that you possess. Joshua embodied that reality. And God consistently honored him for living out that reality. Of course, living out that reality in the strength and courage of the Lord himself. In Exodus 32, we are told that Joshua had been with Moses on Mount Sinai, apparently for the 40 days that Moses was there, along with the other elders of Israel. In chapter 33 of Exodus, Joshua is at the tent of meeting. See, he's always sort of in the shadow of Moses, assisting Moses faithfully. He was faithful in small things, and so God gave him bigger things to steward and to demonstrate his faithfulness and courage in. In Exodus 33, Joshua is at the tent of meeting when Moses is uniquely privileged to meet with God face to face and have God speak to him as a man speaks to his friend. It's in Numbers 13 that we're told of the name change and that Joshua was the chief. God entrusted him to be the chief of the tribe of Ephraim. Then in Numbers 14, you may remember, we really see the courage of Joshua put on display. As he and Caleb brought back the minority report of the spies that Moses sent into Canaan to spy out the land. You may remember that 10 of the spies brought back the majority report. In fact, they represented the majority of Israel, those pessimistic pilgrims who were making their way, first couple of years, making their way around in the wilderness and very doubtful about their future prosperity. But those 10 spies relayed what they had spied there, most significantly the obstacles that they saw, multitudes, armies, giants in the land. They said, basically, if we go over there, we're going to die. We're going to get slaughtered. And so we should turn back and not try to take the land. We might call that majority report the Eeyore report. The Eeyore report. You remember Eeyore, the donkey who once said, "The sky has finally fallen. I always knew it would." But Caleb and Joshua brought back a very different report, the minority report. They also relayed what they had spied in the land. They had spied something that the majority of the spies had failed to see. Yes, they saw the multitude. Yes, they saw the armies. Yes, they saw the giants. But what else did they spy? They spied the Lord. They saw the Lord with the eyes of faith. And they trusted that the Lord who had helped them thus far, the one who had helped them come out of the oppression of powerful Pharaoh and his armies, would enable them to take the land and be victorious over the Canaanites. They spied not only the difficulties, they spied the Lord. They had they had what we might call the optimism of faith, biblical optimism, not pie-in-the-sky optimism, biblically rooted optimism. Optimism about God, what God would do. They, like David, could say, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Or as some of you South Carolinians say in your motto, your state motto, while I breathe, I hope. That was Caleb and Joshua. I believe God is going to do great things according to his promises to advance his kingdom through his people. And so they spied the Lord in the midst of it all, his promises, his power, his presence, his protection. And so they said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. That was their attitude. And so every day, you know, we should ask ourselves, am I living like Eeyore or am I living like Joshua? Am I part of the majority report or am I part of the minority report? And you know, it's okay to be in the spiritual minority. In a world of gloom and doom and just pessimism and cynicism, it's okay to be different from that and be joyfully hopeful and optimistic and prayerful. It's okay to ora et labora, pray and work and watch God build his kingdom in your life and through your life. Say with Joshua, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it, whatever the obstacle might be. Now, what happened to Caleb and Joshua? They were hated for their biblical optimism. They were hated for being joyfully confident in the Lord. The naysayers wanted to kill them. But Caleb and Joshua were brave in the face of that too. So all that to say, and just to remind you, that Joshua had proven himself over and over again to be strong and courageous as a military leader and spy, as an assistant to Moses, and as a bold communicator of God's unwavering truth. Joshua was already strong and courageous. But in the second place this evening, that didn't stop God from telling him three times to be strong and courageous in this commissioning service, where he's formally set apart to lead God's people. In fact, Moses had already said this to Joshua when he commissioned Joshua before his death. In Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 7, we read that Moses summoned Joshua. And Joshua said, I'll be there in a minute. No, he got there. Quick. Moses. Moses. When your parents say, come here, say, don't say, I'll be there in a minute. No. Get there. Let's go. Follow in the footsteps of Joshua. Moses summoned Joshua. And Moses doesn't even say here that Joshua came. It is Moses summoned Joshua and said to him. That's how fast Joshua got there. Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. You see how Jesus was echoing those words in that greater commission to his apostles? And even in that commissioning service, when Moses was speaking to Joshua, it's like the Lord, if I can put it this way, couldn't restrain his lips. The Lord had to interject. In this service, back in Deuteronomy 31, where it was Moses who was commissioning Joshua. The Lord's going to commission him later, as we've read tonight. But Moses is commissioning Joshua, and in Deuteronomy 31:23, the Lord said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. So the Lord just kept saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why did he keep saying this to a man who had proven himself over and over again to be strong and courageous? Well, a couple of thoughts. First, I think he wanted to keep bringing Joshua back to the Lord himself. And back to the fact that Joshua's strength and courage came not from Joshua, but from the Lord. That is surely why the Lord had Moses change his name from Joshua, salvation, or from Hoshua, salvation, to Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. The Lord wanted to give Joshua a name that would constantly remind him of where his strength and courage and salvation for himself and for the people he was called to lead was found. So the Lord kept telling him to be strong and courageous so that Joshua wouldn't forget that his strength and courage came only through his relationship. That's the key. His relationship with the Lord. The closer he was to the Lord, the stronger and courageous he would be in the strength and courage of the Lord. And secondly, the Lord kept telling him to be strong and courageous because God is, He knows us. He knows our frame. We sang about, by nature, we're weak and frail. He knows that we're but dust. He knows that we often have spiritual amnesia. So His way is to constantly remind us of the cardinal truth of the faith and the cardinal deeds of the faith. So here, He reminded Joshua of those cardinal virtues, which Joshua already had demonstrated. But He reminded Joshua to live these virtues out, even in old age. God constantly calls His saints to live out in our daily lives who we already are by grace. He doesn't call you to live out anything that you are not already in Christ. By grace, Joshua was already strong and courageous. So He called him to live it out in his daily lives. By grace, Joshua, strong and courageous. By grace, that was his identity. He was not spiritually weak or cowardly. He was strong and courageous in the Lord. So God called him to live out that strength and courage with each new day and with each new challenge that came his way. You know, the hymn that says, calls on the saints to fresh courage take. Fresh courage take. Like fresh manna from heaven. And so you got to look to the Lord daily for fresh courage, fresh infusions of courage from the Lord to face each new day and each challenge. His strength and courage were muscles that he had to exercise and develop, or they would begin to atrophy in Joshua's old age. Joshua was 40 years old when Moses sent him into Canaan to spy out the land. That meant he was about 78 by this point, almost the age of Moses when Moses was commissioned to lead God's people. So Joshua, almost 80 years old, but he still needed to be reminded of the basics. Be strong and courageous. And you notice Joshua didn't seem to be annoyed with being reminded of those basic truths. He didn't say, "Time out, God. You've already told me this before. We've been over this before. Why are we going over this again? I've got this whole strength and courage thing down." No. He listened and he obeyed. He appreciated the fortification of his soul from the word of the Lord. And that was a sign of spiritual maturity. It's sort of like the less experienced basketball player who in practice says, "Coach, why are we having to practice foul shots again? We've done that before. Why are we having to do that again?" The seasoned player, the veteran, knows you practice foul shots every practice because they are necessary to win basketball games. Joshua knew that the fundamentals of strength
and courage were necessary to be successful for the Lord. The mature Christian doesn't say, why are we saying the Lord's Prayer? Why are we praying the Lord's Prayer again? Haven't we done that before? Why are we confessing our faith again? Haven't we done that before? Why are we singing the doxology of the Gloria Patri again? Why are you preaching on this passage again? Why are you preaching on this topic again? Why are we celebrating Christmas again? Why are we celebrating Easter again? Why are we doing these things? Because they're the cardinal doctrines of the faith. They fortify your soul. They're like water for your soul. You can't go a day or two and say, well, I've had water before. I've had water before. I don't need to drink water today. We need these basic truths, and we need to be reminded of these basic virtues, because they are the bread and butter of the Christian life. And taken together, they make us more like Jesus as the Spirit anoints these truths and virtues in our lives. Joshua did not interrupt the Lord and say, we've been over this before. No, Joshua listened to each exhortation with care, and he followed through on what God called him to do. Careful not to turn from what God called him to do to the right or the left. And Joshua did have good success wherever he went. And Joshua did meditate. As Mary pondered all those things that were revealed to her about her son, Joshua meditated on God's word day and night. And therefore, he made his way prosperous and had good success. And as he looked to the Lord, he wasn't frightened. And as he believed that God was with him wherever he went, he was not dismayed. The attitude of Joshua is depicted in the words of Psalm 71 and verse 17. Forsake me not, O God, in my old age, when I am gray-headed, until I have proclaimed your strength to this generation and your power to all those who are yet to come. God calls us, whatever age we're in, not to live in fear, but to live with his strength and his courage to make a difference in the lives of others and for his kingdom. God calls us to live with the assurance that he is with us, to prosper us, as we heard in this commissioning and in Jesus' commissioning in Matthew 28, that greater commission. He calls us to live out who we are in Christ, that infinitely greater Joshua. As Paul tells us in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. Joshua was a conqueror. Israel, they were conquerors. What does Paul say? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So let us depend on his Spirit to fill us, to live out who we are in him, strong and very courageous in him and by his great and matchless grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.